All right, open your Bibles this morning to Haggai, the book of Haggai, chapter 1. I'll give you extra time to find the book of Haggai this morning. You say, why is that? Well, because that's one of those pages that are usually stuck together. We don't read those, for some reason, we don't read the minor prophets as much as we do some of the other parts of our Bible. I've never understood that because, you know, most people like reading the shorter books of the Bible. Now, we're just being honest here, amen? I mean, when you're reading your Bible through, you know, there are certain chapters that you don't necessarily look forward to and some chapters that in some books you do look forward to. For example, when you start talking about Leviticus and some of the parts in Chronicles and, you know, in Deuteronomy, sometimes that reading, even though it's very, very important, sometimes it could be, you know, somewhat hard reading. So what do? We like to run to those books like 2nd and 3rd John. Amen. That way you can say, I read a whole book of the Bible last night. It's 3rd John. Amen. Well, you know, some of the minor prophets are pretty short too. So I never understood why people don't read them. But for some reason they don't. And it's wonderful information. All the Bible's good. Certainly wonderful information in all of the minor prophets, because in most minor prophets you find a lot of specifics about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Haggai chapter 1 this morning, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now notice that's the second time he said that. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again, for those that are here. I'm thankful, Lord, for our visitors. I'm thankful, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, I am thankful that when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. And Lord, I just pray that we'll all think about these things. Lord, help us to be thankful for our salvation and thankful for everything you've given us. I'm thankful, Lord, for this church that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit will move in here this morning, Lord, and you'll speak to the hearts of these folks, Lord, the message they need to hear. I pray you'll be glorified by the preaching. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect us from any outside disturbance, Lord, that would take away from the scriptures in any way. Help us to stay focused on your word this morning, Lord, and not let our minds wander to the problems or the things we have going on in our lives or to what's going on in our houses. Lord, help us just for a few moments, Lord, just to spend time with you. Meditate on your word, Lord, and just hear your word to us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. It has a sister book. In fact, if you've been on our Wednesday night meetings, we've been studying the book of Daniel. We just finished up that last Wednesday night, and we talked a little bit about sister books. And there are some books in the Bible that when you read other books, there are certain books that are very similar. In other words, whenever you read the book of Daniel, the sister book to Daniel is the book of Revelation, because they talk about a lot of the same things, and one of them will give more information on the same subject that the other book will, and so they work really well together. There's also the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews. You're going to understand Hebrews better if you read the book of Leviticus. That way you'll understand what the sacrifices and the high priest going in and different things. And when you read that in Hebrews, you'll understand it better when you read it in the book of Leviticus. So there are certain sister books. Now, when it comes to the book of Haggai, the sister book to the Haggai is the book of Ezra. And when you read the book of Ezra, you see how Ezra the scribe told Zerubbabel to return with 50,000 Jews to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Now, although the project began in a time, it began well, but over time, there were some hindrances from the enemies. Some enemies that had petitioned the king, Artaxerxes, to prevent the Jews from rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And so for a time, the work ceased that they had went there to go. And in time, the foundation that they had started ended up getting muddied over, and the weeds began to grow, and so because the work had stopped. Now, when the Israelites again were given permission to start building the temple, they were not as enthused about it as they were the first time. Because, you know, the work had stopped and the enemy had seemed to get the victory. And so now when the order came to go back and start rebuilding the temple again, they weren't as enthused about it. So God raised up certain prophets in order to preach to these people and to encourage these people to finish what they started. And these two prophets are Haggai and Zechariah. Now, I will tell you this, it's easy to start something, but how many of you ever noticed it's a little bit harder to finish it? You know, sometimes we will start something and we don't realize how much we got ourselves into until we actually start it, and then we say, boy, I wish I hadn't really started this. You know, sometimes it's a whole lot easier to start a project than it is to finish it. But I will say that nothing that is done for God is ever worth anything unless it costs you something. Unless it costs you something, it's not going to be worth much. And certainly these people here, they had gone the first time to build the temple, and they were enthused about it, they were fired up about it, but then all of a sudden the devil got the victory there and stopped the building of the temple for a while. But then now it's time to get back to work, and it's kind of hard getting these people to get back to work, because now they've kind of gotten comfortable where they were. You know, they're not to the point to where, you know, they're as enthused about doing the work of the Lord anymore. You know, that time seems to have passed for them, and now they're happy just of where they're at. And so Haggai here was raised by God to spur on the people and to keep them focused and help them set their priorities right. And God says through the prophet Haggai, he said it twice, he said, consider your ways. Consider your ways. God wanted these people to take a long, hard look at themselves and ask themselves how it was and why it was that God's work that he gave them to do is still being incomplete. They haven't completed it. And so he wanted them to consider their ways and finish what they had started. When you read that passage there, the whole thing is to try to get these people fired up to finish what they started. And God says, listen, you have sealed houses. You have a place for you to be. But where's my temple? You know, the temple that I sent you to build. You do realize that when the call came for the Israelites, even though they're still in captivity now, when the call came for them to build the temple, God never said, go build your sealed houses. He said, go build the temple. And so now the temple's supposed to be built, and the only thing around are their homes. The temple's still laying there in ruins. And so what God is saying is this. He's saying, you have a place to stay, but I don't. You have a nice place, but mine's still laying here in ruins. And because of that, I've brought judgment upon you. You need to consider your ways. You need to figure out what your priorities are here. Is the priorities you? And your things, or is it priority, or are the priorities me and my things? May I tell you that God's priorities are always number one. Always number one. And so we learn some things here about when God says, consider your ways. And the first thing that's brought up to the nation of Israel here was for them to consider their ways in relation to the work of God that he had called them to do. Now look, if you would, starting at verse 3. It says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The people were saying, basically, it's not time to build God's house. Now the reasoning was this. Look at verse 2. It says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now what they were saying is this. The prophecies predicted 70 years of captivity. We know that when we read the book of Daniel, because Daniel makes it very clear that the captivity would last for 70 years. Okay? And so the prophecies predicted 70 years of captivity, and although they're still in Jerusalem, they were still under occupation here. They were not out of captivity at this point. Okay? And so what many of the people, they were saying, you know, we have people that are not in Jerusalem, we have people that are in Persia, we have people that are in different places. So obviously, right now is not the time to build the temple. They're saying, we're still in captivity. The time to build the temple would be when we get out of captivity. That was their thinking. So they said, now's not the time to build God's temple. But the time will come when the captivity is over, then we'll do it. In other words, what they're saying is when the time is right for me, then I will do God's work. But right now, they're saying, is not the time to do God's work. And so they dwelt in sealed houses while God's house laid in waste. In other words, they were content with their own personal interest. As long as their own personal interests were satisfied, it was okay with them for God's house to be in ruin. They were satisfied with material things while God's work suffered. God was being good to them, but yet they showed little gratitude. Now, it's interesting, folks, how some things never change. What we do sometimes is we look at the children of Israel and we see the way they think and we're saying, boy, you know, that's just messed up for somebody to think like that. I mean, the very idea of those Israelites saying, we're still in captivity, now's not the time to do God's work. May I ask you this morning, is there ever a time not to do God's work? Listen, we're supposed to be about the Father's business all the time, amen? And we can't say, well, you know, some of this right here is, it's just not time to do God's work. But that's what they were saying. They're saying, we're not in captivity. In other words, they're saying, I'll serve God when it's convenient for me, not when God wants me to serve him. And so they were satisfied with material things while God's work lacked. And so today, there are many people today who will postpone doing things for the Lord, that they should be doing things for the Lord, and they postpone it because it isn't their time yet. In other words, they don't feel comfortable doing it yet. It's funny how we always have reasons for why we can't serve the Lord. And we always find the time and money to serve ourselves. Have you ever thought about that? How it's always easier for us to do the things that we want than what God wants us to do. I'll give you some examples. Someone put it this way. Isn't it strange how a $20 bill seems like such a large amount when you donate it to the church, but such a small amount when you go shopping? Amen? Isn't it strange how 2 hours seem so long when you're at church, and how short they seem when you're watching a movie? Isn't it strange that you can find a word to say when you're praying, that you can't find a word to say when you're praying, but you have no trouble thinking what to talk about with a friend? Isn't it strange how difficult and boring it is to read one chapter of the Bible to you, but how easy it is to read 100 pages of a popular novel? Isn't it strange how we need to know about a church event 3 weeks in advance so we can include it in our agenda, but we can adjust it for other events in the last minute for our own purposes? Isn't it strange how difficult it is to learn and share a truth about God with others, but how easy it is to learn and understand and extend and repeat gossip? Isn't it strange how we believe everything that magazines and newspapers say, but we question the words of the Bible? You know, the problem is this, folks, is it seems like, and people have been doing this for a long time, We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of putting what we want first and making what we want the priority rather than making what God wants the priority. There's a reason why that we find time to do things that we want to do always. We will make a special time. If we want to do something, we will make sure that we're there doing it. And we will find time to do it. But when it comes to the Lord's work, for some reason, it's always on the back burner. It's always, well, if I have time. Well, you know what happens whenever we say, well, when I have time, I'll serve the Lord. You'll find out that that the devil will make it to where you won't have time. That's what he'll do. And so what we do is say, well, if I have time, and then when we can't serve the Lord, we justify it to ourselves, and we say, well, I just didn't have time. I'm too busy. Really? I guarantee you that if you took a hard look at every day of your life, if you took a hard look in your afternoons after you get off work, if you take a look at your weekends, how much time would you have to serve the Lord? You'd have more time than what you think. But the problem is you're putting your own priorities ahead of God's priorities. And that's exactly what these people here of Israel had done. The truth is, the reasons that we have for not serving the Lord, what they are, they're not reasons, they're excuses. And these Jewish people in Haggai's time said the time has not come that the time of the Lord's house should be built. But they seem to have plenty of time to work on their own houses. You ever notice that? Their houses were complete. Well, they found time to work on those. How come they couldn't find time to work on God's? In other words, it wasn't time to build God's house, but it certainly was time to build their own. And so God points at those lovely houses and he asks, how is it that your house seems to be a fine order, but mine's disappearing under the weeds? How come you have time to build your houses, but no time to build mine? And God told these people, consider your ways. Consider your ways. I'm just going to tell you this morning, if you make more time for yourself than you do for God, if you make more time for you to do the things you want to do rather than you serving God, you need to consider your ways. You need to consider your ways. Well, you know why? Because we are not the priority God is. The things that we want to do are not the priority. I'm not against people having fun. Nobody loves to have fun more than me, okay? Look at me. I'm a fun-loving guy. Amen? Seriously, I am. But listen, you need to make time to serve the Lord. You need to make him the priority. And if you're not making him the priority and you're not making serving him the priority, then you need to consider your ways this morning. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you haven't witnessed to somebody in about 2 or 3 months, you know good and well that God's told you to do that. You better consider your ways. You say, I don't have time to witness to somebody. You have time to go out and do things you want to do. You know how long it takes to witness to somebody? You ever think about that? I guarantee I could do it in 5 minutes or less. I could probably do it even faster than that if I just hand them a tract and say, here, read this. Have a nice day. Listen, the Lord says, go out and tell people about me. He's commanded us to do that. But a lot of people say, I just don't have time. I don't have time to tell us about Christ. I have time to serve. I don't have time to do what the Lord wants me to do. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to teach other people what I know. I don't have time to encourage other people. Listen, you do have time. Maybe we need to trim some of the things that we want back and make more time for God. And so that's what these people had done here. And I will tell you this, that all of us have work that God has for us to do. If you're here this morning, you're breathing, believe me, God still has something else for you to do. If he's done with you and your work is done, you're going to be pushing up daisies. Amen? That, why? Because when God says your work is done, you're going home. But if you're here breathing, that means he still has something for you to do. And we are all to serve the Lord. But if you're off doing the things for yourself all the time and not doing the work of the Lord, if you're not doing what God has called you to do, you need to reconsider or you need to consider your ways this morning. It's about priorities. It's about what's truly important to us. And the truth is, for some believers, Jesus is not as important to them as they let on. You say, how could you say that, Pastor? Because it shows in the way that we use what God has given us. You know, the Lord has given all of us talents and gifts, and he's blessed us with certain things. And do you realize that everything you have, God gave you? Now, why do you suppose he gave you those things? Do you think that he gave you those things for your glory and for you to use them for your glory. Everything that he gave you, including your salvation, and by the way, that was a gift. Everything that he gave you was for his glory. You see, you mean to tell me my salvation is for the glory of God? You bet it is. Because nobody can save the soul of another. And you can't save your own soul. But God can. And nobody in this room deserved it when you got saved. Amen? So guess what? When you got saved, it's all to God's glory. Because you couldn't do anything to save yourself. Only he could. And you didn't deserve it. And he did it for you anyway because he loved you. That's the reason we say we're saved by grace. The grace of God. It's only by his grace. And so your salvation is to his glory. The talents he gave you. He gave you those talents so you glorify him with those talents. Everything he's given you, he's blessed you with. You're supposed to use those things for the glory of God. But the problem is we use those things for our own glory and for our own benefit. So often we leave God out of the picture. If that's you this morning, you need to consider your ways. Consider your ways in relation that the work of God has called you to do. And then the second thing that God says here in this verse is consider your ways and views of loss in the view of lost blessings. Because these people had all but abandoned the work of the Lord, these people began to notice something. They started to notice that they were not being blessed as much as they once were blessed. God said this in verse 6. He says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." How many of you understand what that's talking about there? He's saying this, when you earn wages, it's like you're taking those wages and you're putting it in a bag with holes. When you put something in a bag of holes, what's going to happen? It's going to fall out. I remember it was one of my sons one day. He had something in his pocket. He put it in his pocket and he came later and he goes, "Dad, I forgot I had a hole in my pocket. I don't have it anymore. Well, that thing I put in my pocket, it's gone." You put anything that has holes in it, you put something in something that has holes in it, it's going to fall out. Amen? You know, sometimes when we get our paycheck and we get ready to pay the bills, you ever notice that sometimes that money's gone? The moment you get the check, it's already gone. Amen? Because you got to pay this bill and you got to pay that bill and you got to pay this and you pay that. It seems like sometimes we're just putting what God's blessed us in a bag of holes in it. And there's been many times when I've got a paycheck, it felt like I was putting it into a bag with holes in it. But you know, most people, when they consider the blessings of God, they think about the things that God gives us. Now that we should be thinking about that. And one of the things that we do during Thanksgiving is we like to come in here on a Wednesday night and name those blessings, name our blessings one by one. And we start telling people what we're thankful for. And by the way, we should do that more than just at Thanksgiving. Amen. We should be thankful people all the time. We should be thankful for the things that God gives us. But you've heard me say many times, and you know that Bible says the same thing, that it's not just the things that he gives you that we're supposed to be thankful for. It's the things that he protects you from that we should be thankful for. I'll give you an example. If this happened to you this morning, I'm just going to pray for you, but I'm assuming it didn't happen. But how many people's transmission just let loose this morning when they went to go put your car in drive? Did you thank God for that? That you made it here with the transmission all in one piece? You ever seen all the moving parts in the transmission? It's a miracle that it even works, amen? We should be thankful for that. Do you ever think that God sometimes keeps things from happening to you and that's a blessing too? You know how much a transmission costs? I know in my Blazer it costs about $4,000 to replace one. But it's still working. God's blessed me there. You see, it's the things that we don't see. When you came here this morning, you made it here alive, which is a miracle in this town after a Friday or Saturday night. Amen? But you made it here alive. In other words, when you came to that tee up here, or these tees coming here, if you came in from that way, from the south, when you came up on all these four ways where there's no stop signs, nobody T-boned you. You ever thought that God's in charge of that too? How many of you are thankful for that? You see, God provides things for us all the time that we're not even aware of. And he protects us with certain things that we don't even think about. And so all of a sudden, you know, we say, you know what, the washer and dryer is working. I don't have any broken water pipes at my house. The car is still running. Do you realize how much you'd have to pay out and how much you'd have to shell out if all of a sudden those things were to come to pass and those things broke? You talk about taking your what you have and putting it in a bag with holes in it. That's the blessings that we have been getting every day, and we're not even thinking about those things. These people here, they took those things for granted. They said, you know what, we've got everything we need to build our house, and we've got these sealed houses, and boy, isn't my house just beautiful. With all these things I've got here in my house, but the whole time the Lord's work is sitting over here being undone, not being done. The whole time you have the temple over here not being built at all. These people were not thankful for what, listen, do you think they could have built those houses without God? Everything that they had to build those houses, God provided. But it was supposed to be used for God's glory. But instead they used it for their glory. And so God says, consider your ways. Sometimes, folks, God stops bad things from happening. Sometimes he doesn't allow certain expenses to come our way. Sometimes he shields us from things that would make life very tough on us. And there have been many times that people, they start serving God and started doing what the Lord called them to do, and all of a sudden they start seeing blessings. How many of you can honestly say this morning that when I started serving God, I noticed God started to bless me? Amen? Listen, everybody in this room knows it's true. God takes care of his children and those the people that are obedient to him and those that do his will. But God can make it pretty rough on his children when they're disobedient. If you're not doing what you know the Lord wants you to be doing this morning, whatever it may be, you need to consider your ways, because God can make things pretty tough. God can start taking away those blessings, and that's exactly what he did with the children of Israel here. Look at verse 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. In other words, he's saying this, the blessings I used to give you, I'm not giving you those blessings anymore. You notice how the blessings aren't there anymore? It's because you're not doing what I told you to do. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labors of their hands. God saw it that their money would no longer stretch. Their homes were devalued. The harvest was ruined. God was withholding his blessings. And that was a wake-up call to these people so that they would start doing the Lord's work again, so they would start building the temple again. So God told these people to consider their ways in relationship to the work that God had for them to do. He told these people to consider their ways in view of the lost blessings. And then God also wanted them to consider the ways in view of the work to be done. Look at verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, my house is laying in ruins, but yet you've got your homes. He's saying that now that my house is in ruin, you got your home, and you don't care anything about doing the Lord's work, then I'm going to take away my blessings from you. But then after that, he says, now here's what I want you to do. In order to make things right, I want you to go up to that mountain, get some wood, bring it down here, and get to work and start to build that temple. Amen? You ever notice the grace that God always gives? I mean, these people, they didn't deserve that. These people had been working on their own houses. They had been neglecting God's house. They had been living their lives the way they wanted to live them, and they didn't really care about the work of the Lord. They didn't really care about serving the Lord. But God here, when he just could have said, you know what, I'm going to destroy your houses, I'm going to do all these things, he said this, I've stopped giving my blessings to you, but if you want them back, if you want to make things right, then get to work. In other words, forget about what you haven't been doing and start today and get to work with the Lord, for the Lord. And may I tell you this morning, folks, if you haven't been serving the Lord, what's done is done. What we like to say is that spilt milk. And what's done is done. You haven't been serving the Lord, okay, fine. But start now. Just go out and start serving the Lord now. And so he says, go up on the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, he says, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And he tells these people to go up here and get this wood. Now, it's a strange thing when you start to read these passages and start to compare one passage to another and start to, you know, and start to cross-reference scripture, you'll find out that when this work actually started to begin with, they already had materials to build the temple. Turn, if you hold your place here, and turn over to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. And we'll show you something. Now we'll be guilty of assuming things. But I want you to notice something here. In Ezra chapter 3, I'll wait till you get there. The book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra chapter 3, look if you would at starting at verse 6. It says, from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So they're supposed to be building the temple, but the temple, the foundation had been laid yet. Verse 7, they gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre to bring, watch it, cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, the king of Persia. So once Cyrus gave them the grant to go do this, they took what they had and they gave it to the masons, everything, and they started getting all the materials to build the temple because the foundation hadn't been laid yet. And they started to get all the different things to put it together, and one of those things that they paid for and they got to build the temple was cedar trees. Was cedar trees. And so these people had the supplies to do the work of the temple. And here it says that they had the wood. Now, where do you suppose that wood went to? You ever think about that? I mean, think about this. They had all the materials to build it. But then when God says over here in our opening passage in Haggai, what he says is this. He goes, now listen, I want you to go up on the mountain and get wood so you can build the temple. Wait a second. They already had wood, according to the book of Ezra. What happened to the wood? They use it to build their own houses, we assume. Now, it never actually says that, but they did something with it. And it was very strange that they had sealed houses there, but the temple's still laying in ruins. You say, well, what? They used the wood for their own homes. What does that have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. Everything, like I said before, everything that you have, God has given you to be used for His glory. That wood that they had was supposed to be used to build the temple. You know what they did? They used it to build their own houses. You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but then again, I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to. You know, there are people today that are great singers in this world. Great singers, country music singers, whatever kind of singers. They have a great voice. And they claim, some of them claim to be Christian. But you ever notice how what they do is they use that voice to make money for themselves, but they never use it for the glory of God. That is no different than taking that wood that was built meant for that temple and building your own home with it. No different at all. May I tell you this morning, we all have talents of some sort. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't have any talents. Yes, you do. Everybody's been given a talent, been given a gift. One person's gift is not the same as other person's gift. If you don't believe it, listen to me sing one time. I do not have the gift of singing. Amen? Ask Brother John Story. I don't know how he keeps the tune with me singing beside of him. Because I can't sing. But other people can. Sister Sharon's a very good singer. Amen? Amen. And so, she has a talent. She has a talent I don't have. But I have some that she doesn't have. I have talents that she doesn't have. And you may have talents that she doesn't have. And maybe your talent isn't the same way as hers. But God's given us all certain talents. Some people have a talent of just being a good welcomer at church, a smiling face. I remember when I first got into ministry, there was a lady that went to our church and she could not hear a thing. I mean, this lady, she was an older lady. We loved her to death, but she couldn't hear anything. And she would sit kind of, okay, if you can imagine, pews this way and pews this way and pews this way. She sat kind of right there in the middle. And so when I was a preacher boy, all the preacher boys, we would get up there and we get behind the pulpit and we're nervous. Oh, we're so nervous we can't even think straight. But every time we pick up our head, we look and there was that lady sitting there. And she's just got this smile of an angel on her face. I could preach the worst heresy in the world. She would sit there and still smile. She didn't know what we were preaching. But she was a great blessing to all of us. And whenever we got nervous up there, the first thing we do is we look at her. And it seemed to calm us down. You know, God gave her a gift. She didn't even realize she had the gift. She's in heaven today. And there is no doubt when the judgment seat of Christ comes, she's going to be surprised to find out that she had such an impact on a bunch of preacher boys that there are still some preacher boys still preaching today because that lady would just sit there and smile. What an encouragement. Everybody in this room has a gift, but that gift is supposed to be used for the glory of God. That's what it's supposed to be used for. The same way that wood that they went up and they got, those cedar trees was supposed to be used for the temple of God. They didn't. They used that for their own glory. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You may have the gift of being able to sell an Eskimo a block of ice. Okay? And you say, that's a gift. Some people have that talent. Some people are just people that are just naturally good at selling things. I knew a fellow one time that he could sell everything. In fact, before I first moved out of Montana, I had this big yard sale. And this person, I'm not going to tell you his name, but he came over and said, hey, you want me to help you sell some of the stuff at your yard sale? I said, sure, because I needed to make room and needed some extra money. So we opened up the garage, and I'm telling you, within about 2 hours, everything I had was gone. I mean, it was so bad that I looked for my shotgun reloader. I said, where's my shotgun reloader? He goes, I sold it. I mean, he was selling everything. He was just a natural at that. He had a great talent for that. You ever thought how that talent could be used when it comes to telling people about Jesus Christ? I mean, you think about that. I'm not trying to say we need to sell it like we're trying to sell a car. But if you know how to talk to people, and if you know how to influence people, if God's given you that gift, boy, think about what you could do for the Lord with that thing. Think about what you could do for the Lord with the voice that you have if you're able to sing here this morning. Think about the things that the glory you could bring Him if you will use those things that God gave you for His glory and not your own. But far too many Christians today are using what God has given them for their own glory and for their own benefit rather than using them for God's benefit. God gives every one of us resources to serve Him. He gives us everything that we have. But so many people today only use those gifts to pleasure themselves. May I tell you that there is work still to be done for the Lord. And like I said, if you're alive, then there's still something for you to do. If your work is through, you wouldn't be here anymore. And these people here, they still had work to do for the Lord. And the Lord told them, listen, what you've been doing, you haven't been doing for my glory. I took away my blessings because of it. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to forget all that now and just go get the materials and start doing the work that I had for you to do. And may I tell you this morning, if you're here this morning and you haven't been serving the Lord, you've been using the talents and gifts that God has given you to benefit yourself, if for some reason you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to be doing the work of the Lord, but it just seemed like I just don't make time for it. May I tell you, start today and make time for it. Start today and start serving the Lord. Start using those talents that God has given you. Maybe you're here this morning and you notice that you're not getting blessed like you used to get blessed. Maybe you should consider your ways. Maybe you should think, am I serving the Lord the way I'm supposed to be serving the Lord? Am I using what He's given me for His glory? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, the Bible makes it very clear that he that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's what your Bible says. So that means this, if you've not received Jesus Christ, you're not saved and you're a condemned man. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ today and receive Him as your Savior. If you're not saved here this morning, may I tell you, you need to consider your ways. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You need to consider your ways this morning and understand that the only way that you'll ever be saved, the only way that you'll be saved from eternity in hell is to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to consider our ways this morning. Are you considering your ways? Are you using what God has given you? Are you doing the work of the Lord? Let's stand.